Daniel chapter 6 tonight, please. I feel rushed, so I don't have time to make any jokes up here. So Crystal will probably be happier with me after service tonight. So it may be a better start to a new year than otherwise planned. So that works out well. I guess that was one, but we'll stop there. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 through 5, if you will with me. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, and the princes, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was found in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for these few moments I have tonight to preach out of your word, Lord God. Just help me to say exactly what you'd have me to, and just speak to hearts and minds according to your will. I love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, shortly before the text tonight, in the book of Daniel, Daniel is called to Belshazzar because some mysterious fingers appeared on a wall and they started writing something and nobody knew what it meant. Belshazzar got real nervous and wanted to know, and he was frantic about it, and eventually he called Daniel. Daniel comes in and interprets the dream for him. He tells him basically that Babylon is being judged. Belshazzar, you're being judged, and your kingdom is finished, and that's that. And that very night, Darius the Mede came, and he conquered Babylon, becoming the new king, the new leader of Babylon, now part of Persia. It's no longer Babylon, it is Persia. So, we have a new country there, and the text tonight picks up when Darius is the king of this new area, and it's picking up from Daniel's perspective, obviously. And Daniel is going to be a ruler in this new country, but previous to this in Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, he was a ruler, he was the governor of the wise men, and then Belshazzar eventually made him the third in charge of all of Babylon. So he's got some experience, but now this King Darius comes in, and he has conquered Babylon, and he is going to set up Daniel to be part of these rulers. He's going to be one of three presidents who's over 120 princes who are over all this large mass of land known as the Persian Empire at this time. And this Persian Empire is not a small empire. To that date, it is the largest empire in world history. There's never been another one larger than that up to that time. Later there will be larger, but not at this time. And so Daniel comes onto the scene, and he's made an overseer. And this in and of itself is a miracle. Daniel is a servant when he's brought into Babylon. He's raised in Babylon. He's groomed to be a leader. He's groomed to be a ruler, a governor, and he gets there, and he kind of gets his place, but throughout his history, he's serving God, and now another country comes in and wipes out his leadership, and typically what would happen is those leaders would be all killed, not put into a place of leadership. Consider our United States Constitution. If you are a congressman, you have to be a citizen for at least 7 years. If you were a senator, you would have to be a citizen for 9 years. If you're a president, at least in theory, you have to be a naturally born citizen. And there's good reasons for these things. There's a fear that such a person coming in would be a traitor. You don't know what they're going to do. They may not know anything about your government. They may not care about your government. They may be very lax in their duties and their responsibilities, because what's it to them? Maybe they, you know, want to get back to their homeland, so they'll do whatever it takes, and they can try to use the laws to get back there. And I guess the worst case scenario would be a spy being part of your government, especially if you're one of the three main men in your government, top four people perhaps. That would be very detrimental to a country to put that kind of person that high up on your chain of authority, your chain of command. But this is where Daniel is put, and that just makes it that much more of a miracle in my mind, seeing where Daniel is. He's this leader in a country that he's just brought into and placed very highly, despite the fact that at this time, this would be called the ancient age of history. So, you know, we have the ancient age, and then we have the dark ages, and then, you know, the industrial age, all the others that go forward. But this would be the ancient age. And this time was not a kind time when people were being conquered. You think about what happened when Israel was in these situations, whether it was them doing it to someone else or someone else doing it to them. People were typically enslaved, killed, or relocated. That is what happened to people living in countries when they were conquered during these ancient ages. That's what Israel did to people. That's what people did to Israel. That's what Babylon, by and large, did to Israel when, or to Judah when Judah was being conquered. And it happens over and over and over again. And it's pretty much what happens to Babylon, except for Daniel. Daniel appears in the new government of the Persian Empire. Such an amazing work that God did. And when I'm reading that, I'm thinking about why. Why did God allow this to happen? And I think we all know it's because God had his hand on Daniel, and because Daniel was a faithful servant to God, God had plans for Daniel that went above and beyond him being killed when the Persian Empire took over. He had something that Daniel was going to do. And we just think about Daniel's life briefly. Daniel served God faithfully when he was taken into captivity by the Babylonian government. He served God faithfully as he's being trained to be a wise man. We all know the story that Daniel refused to eat the king's meat. He refused to eat, to partake of the king's wine. He looked to God when his life was in danger for not being able to tell Nebuchadnezzar a dream, and God provided that dream. He served God faithfully when he's promoted to these new positions. He's given more and more authority, and he just doesn't quit. He doesn't fail. He's a faithful, faithful servant of God, and God is going to use him. And we see his faithfulness, but tonight, just for a few moments, I want to look at three attributes that kind of lead to this overall picture we have of Daniel and his faithfulness, and why God is going to use him, and how he sets himself up as a tool to be used by God, and how likewise we can set ourselves up to be tools that can be used by God. And the first attribute I want to look at is in verse 3, and it says, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." He had an excellent spirit, And that's what it really tells us about what King Darius saw in Daniel. He saw one thing that the Bible tells us in Daniel, and that's he had an excellent spirit. And because of that, he's preferred above the other two. And think about it. All things being equal as Christians, we should be preferred above other people. We should, if everything's equal between me and another person, and he's unsaved, I should stand out. You should stand out. And we hear all the, I guess, the philosophies of wealth and prosperity, Christianity. It's our position as God would use us. And as we set ourselves up, we can be as much for God as we will let him make us to be, but it's our spirit that will get us there. It's our spirit that can set us apart. A Christian should do the right things all the time, no matter what is going on. And an equally talented unbeliever will do exactly the right thing as long as people are watching. And they may do it more than that. They may have a good moral code, but there's nothing there to keep them right all of the time. And that should set us apart as believers, the fact that we will be unwavering in our decision to do right. The second thing is a Christian will have the right attitude about the task at hand. If all things being equal, again, a boss tells me and another person to do something, my attitude should be right no matter what. When the boss is there, when the boss is gone, no matter what's happening. But frequently what I've noticed in work with others is the attitude of them, the unbelievers or those who aren't saved, will be great when the boss is there, but as soon as they're gone, we start hearing complaining. Is that us today? That doesn't demonstrate a spirit that would please God. Our attitude should always be that which would be pleasing to the Lord. The Christian also, and this is something that I think people struggle with a lot, is we should give our best effort no matter what. And I think God commands that of us. He tells us to do everything as unto the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do. That's 100% of our effort at all times. Many other people, unbelievers, they may not take that to heart, and some will, but as a whole, we as Christians should give our effort 100% of the time, all of our effort, all of the time, and not just what's necessary to complete the task. If we know there's something that's better that can be done, we should do that. And I believe that's where Daniel was. Daniel displayed an excellent spirit. And his spirit was demonstrated through how he worked, through his hard work, through his attitude, through his effort as he completed tasks. And this is what the king noticed. He saw something in him, and that was his attitude or his spirit that set him apart. And for us, people see these things. They sense our spirit. We meet them. We talk to them. They can get a feel for us. And you feel, I keep using the word spirit because that's what the Bible uses here, but when I talk to somebody for the first time, you get a sense of their spirit. And you can tell pretty instantly whether you think there's a chance they could be a Christian or not, or what they have that may set them apart. And for us, our spirit is going to be the first influence that we are able to have on anyone. When we are door knocking, or when we take a new job, or when we're meeting somebody in whatever situation, it's our spirit that is going to let people know about us. And this can be conscious, and this can be unconscious, but it's something that we need to focus on, making sure we have the right spirit, as Daniel here had an excellent spirit. The second attribute I want you to notice is that Daniel exhibits this attribute of being blameless. And I'm running out of time quickly here. But verse 4 tells us, "Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." The short story is 122 princes and two presidents went looking with all of their might and all of their power to find something that Daniel was doing wrong. These people would be the most politically powerful people in that country, in all the realm, and I am sure they used 100% of their resources to dig up whatever they could find on this one man. And unlike our political situation today, they found nothing. That is where we should be. We should be blameless in this world around us because people are observing us. That's our testimony. They watch how we work. They watch how we handle hard times. They watch how we handle good times. They watch how we spend our time. They know if we're going to church. They know if we miss church. They know what music we listen to. People pay attention to us because whether we say, "I'm a Christian and I'm supposed to have a moral high ground," we'll say, or not, they know it. Our spirit demonstrates it. But then our acts will prove it. How we live our lives, whether we're blameless or not, will verify that to people. And the attribute of Daniel's spirit got him noticed. It got him to this position to where the king wanted to set him apart, wanted to set him up to make him something else. But then it verified it to those trying to tear him down. They knew he was a Christian, and they got to the point to where they said, "We can't find anything on this man." They found nothing. He was blameless. And that gets to the final attribute of why he was blameless and why his spirit was so excellent. And that would be found in verse 5. And it says, "Then said these men, 'We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.'" These 122 presidents and priests came to the conclusion that if they wanted to tear Daniel down, if they wanted to get him out of office, if they want to rid themselves of this pestilent fellow to them, they would have to find a law or make a law or do something that would stop him from serving his God because they knew he would not do it. Daniel would serve his God completely, even at the expense of the law. We see here at the end of the chapter, and we're not going into it, Daniel's thrown into the lion's den because he refused to quit praying. He was completely committed to his Lord. And that's really the most important of these three attributes because it'll lead to the third. Without being totally loyal to God and without being committed to God, we won't have the spirit we're supposed to have. We won't be blameless like we ought to be. Notice with me that Daniel has what I think everybody, at least in some point in their life, desires, whether they're saved or unsaved. He has power. He has the respect of the country. He has the ear of the ruler. He can talk to him when he wants. He has influence. I'm sure he is very, very wealthy at this point because he's at least in the top four of this government. He has what people want, but as we look deeper at this story, we see that he had it because he made himself a tool to God. He made himself available for God to use, and God took advantage of that, and God used him because he was ready, because he was prepared. But what got him to being prepared was living in complete commitment to God. His commitment to doing God's will completely saturated his life. And that's where we need to step up as Christians and be committed to God all of the time and in everything we do. And it was the observation of his spirit and the observation of his actions that led Darius to put Daniel in a position of authority, and it's the observation of his actions and his spirit that led to the conclusion that Daniel couldn't be removed without anything short of offending his God. But the key to Daniel's life was his commitment to God, and that commitment manifests itself in his spirit and in his actions. And that's really my encouragement tonight to you, is we need to commit ourselves to God, and as we do so, we can and we will, as we work towards pleasing God, as we work towards committing ourselves to Him, it's a natural fruit of pleasing God that our spirit becomes more excellent and that our lives become more blameless. So my challenge to you tonight would be simply to commit yourself to God this new year.